extra.
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales slap in the face. A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet,
what are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die. Okay, tell us about your first sale.
Okay, well, my first unsuccessful sale was with...
That's how it starts, baby.
Yeah. So when I was 15, and it was right after middle school, and Betsy Johnson, the dress company, was one that I just really liked. And so I thought, I really like these dresses. I'm sure they would want to sponsor me because I like wearing their clothing. So I put together a Word document.
Wait, time out. That's ballsy.
Oh, yeah. And this is where my parents like clearly let me learn the hard way, but I told my parents that I was going to do that, and on one afternoon after I had printed out my proposal and, you know, put some pictures in it and put it together in a packet, my dad and I walked down to the Betsy Johnson headquarters. I went up to the receptionist and I was like, "Hello, can you please give this to Betsy Johnson?" And she was like, "Okay." And that was it. And I walked away. I was like, "All right, here we go. I'll expect a call in the next week or two." I'm sure it never left that secretary's desk, but my dad let me do that. And then we debriefed, and then he explained some things as to why it probably didn't work.
Like Betty Crocker, there is no Betsy Johnson.
Yeah, maybe like that. Although we do see her do cartwheels down the runway. They probably don't sponsor NASCAR drivers. Yeah. Anyway, so that was really cool. But then the first sale that was really successful actually didn't happen until 2015. I mean, there was that many years of... You know, so that's almost 9 years. And so part of it was that, you know, my family had some funding to be able to go racing, and we got in sponsorships, not through my selling, but through a team selling or other things like that. And so I was able to attract the attention of someone who graduated from my high school and had a software engineering company. And, you know, it was through a crowdfunding campaign, but I still had to convince him why he should give me, you know, thousands of dollars to go racing. And kind of we had a couple phone conversations, and he contributed, and it was just really successful because, again, people have been contributing, you know, $10 to $100 or something. So to get someone to really give the biggest amount was really cool, and it was inspiring. We got to put his logo over the front of the car.
Love
and
that.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was just really cool and to be able to show, and then he got to go to his employees and say, "Hey, we're on a NASCAR car. Like, this is really cool." And we, you know, offered, you know, a high-touch employee engagement of doing a go-karting day. And so that kind of providing value in non-traditional ways was really cool to be able to figure out and then convey to them and get them excited by it.
That's incredible. Did you know him, or were you just able to establish rapport more quickly because you went to the same high school?
Yeah, I didn't know him, but I think once you're part of Stuyvesant High School for math and science in New York, it's a pretty geeky, nerdy, but powerful public school. You know, you have this reputation. You're all part of the family.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about this yet, but as a demure young lady, you were on Survivor.
Yeah. All part of that brand development, right? Help with sales. So when I was a sophomore at Stanford, I got the opportunity to apply for Survivor. I was like, how can I give this up? Like, I definitely want to try it out. You know, a lot of the women who had been successful were total badasses and, you know, super tough and strong. Mm-hmm. And so went through the application process.
You're the skinniest badass I think I've ever seen in my life.
Maybe skinny, but I'm strong. Actually, sidetrack, I got my genes analyzed and I found out that I'm not likely to put on like big bulky muscle. muscle, but the muscle I do put on is going to be exceptionally strong. So I guess it's more efficient, right?
Cool.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, super interesting. So I'm not getting as frustrated anymore when I'm in the gym for an hour a day and not seeing any big difference. But so I went on Survivor and it was so tough. I was able to incorporate some of the stuff I knew from racing, but it also taught me a lot. Perseverance was the big one, which definitely helps in every walk of life. Mm-hmm. And I learned that sunscreen's really important. Yeah, sunscreen's super important, though. Never, ever go out without sunscreen. I got a second degree burn on my face, so yeah.
But it all healed.
Yeah. You look good. Fine now.
Thank you, thank you.
So, what's next?
So what's next is that we've now completed almost half the season in the K&N West Series, and so I am sponsored by Toyota and Napa Filters, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
And Toyota will
talk to them.
So how do you get that sponsorship?
Yeah.
What's that like?
So that sponsorship was interesting. They had a relationship with the team I drive for, Bill McAnally Racing, and Bill's a great guy, and so he said, you know, Toyota's interested in sponsoring you. Do you want to come out and test for them? I did. They signed on, and now so I've been developing that relationship with Toyota specifically and talk with them and, you know, looking ahead to next year. We're not sure yet, but you know, ideally we would race the East Coast version of the K&N series. Right now I'm on the West Coast, but you know, it's really exciting. We're looking, you know, becoming very brand conscious, and back in May I was selected for the NASCAR Next program, which is a really exclusive program where NASCAR executives, their drivers council, and different media outlets nominate drivers to be part of this program. So there were 11 drivers selected. I was the only female, and they basically, it's a very public statement that NASCAR supports us and they expect us to be future stars of the sport. So with that, we've been able to go to a lot of outlets, a lot of PR areas, and just really push the brand, the, you know, New York City educated, competent women empowerment STEM advocate brand that I have, and that's how we're kind of narrowing down our outreach for sponsorship for the following coming years.
So I get a receptionist or a admin, whatever they call them. How do I get through to the boss?
There's almost no receptionists or admins anymore.
Don't give me that bullshit.
There's all just a tree.
Just answer my question. How do I get through the admin?
Well, there's choices. My first choice is to win them over and say, listen, you work very closely with Mr. Gittimer.
Yeah.
And I have this idea and I'd like to vet it and see what you think about this and if it might serve him. And then I'm going to start trying to get this person on my team. That's my first choice. I like friends rather than enemies.
Okay, guys, if you want to know how to really do it, just get the secretary or the admin or the administrative assistant, whatever they call them, and say, listen, I know you actually run the place, but I'd like to speak to the person that thinks they do.
Right.
And that way she smiles. Huh? Yeah, it's a good line.
Good line.
So
probably not wrong either.
No, exactly. Yeah. So I get through to somebody, I get a voicemail. Now what do I do?
You leave a voicemail.
And what do I say?
I'm going to leave about a 45-second commercial as to what value I intend to create for them with their time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell them that I'm going to follow up with an email.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell them what I want and that I'm going to be calling them back at the same time on Thursday or on Monday the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't expect them to call me back. They're not going to call me back.
I'm going
to
say, Jeffrey Gittimer here, just 704-333-1112. Give me a buzz. That's what I do. I leave my name and number and I'm done. And that way it's like intriguing, like who is this person rather than a diatribe about. Now that's just individual,
sure,
what we do, how we do it.
Well, I don't think there's one right way. And the thing about you, and I would tell you, one of the challenges that you have is you look at the world through Jeffrey Gittimer eyes.
Right.
Okay, so you are resourceful, creative, playful.
Yes.
So you should be that when you sell. But if you're analytical and you're not and you try to be funny –
you're not going to be funny.
You're not going to be funny.
Yeah, I don't argue with that. But
look, if that's what you are, though, you should be that. If you're super analytical, be the smart guy.
When I was cold calling and I made sales, I said to myself, this is bullshit. I'm smarter than this. I don't need to call these people like this. There's better ways to connect with them. And then the internet came along and I go, oh, this is unbelievable. So I would connect with somebody or somebody would connect with me. And that starts a dialogue, especially I wrote a column every week for 15 years in the business paper. And people – I said, hey, if you want to fax me something, I'll fax you back something. And we would get hundreds of faxes a day. I had three fax machines and one full-time employee that all they did was fax shit in and out. It's pretty cool.
And you developed relationships.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I gave him something for nothing, and then I gave him something else for nothing, and then I could call them. Hi, this is Jeffrey Gittimer.
You made deposits in a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that. So I don't make a cold call. I make a warm call to someone that already knows me. I don't need to explain who I am, why I'm there. Fuck all that. That's a waste of time for them. Hi, my name is Jeffrey Gittimer. Have you ever heard of copy machines? Like, a douchebag.
Yeah, I wouldn't start there.
Okay. So, yeah, well, but think about it. The average cold call person who's going into an office to make a cold call has to say who they are and what they do. Please welcome the great Glenn Bill. So tell me about this Attitude Day, this April the 15th special day.
Fantastic. Well, we are in our third year. It's April is Global Attitude Awareness Month. It's a global movement. We're trying to get 1 million people behind us.
Wow.
And I created Global Attitude Awareness Day on April 15th, obviously, for the reasons. Jim Rohn used to say, I'm a happy taxpayer. And I think, you know, anybody on April 15th needs to adjust and up their attitude.
Or you can just file an extension.
Yeah, which is what we do. Or you can buy a lot of real estate and depreciate it and pay no taxes.
Yeah,
that's a different podcast.
Well, we're not going to give you tax advice here.
No.
Yes, none. So what we do on that day is we have something called Attitude Fest, which we've been doing in Indianapolis, and we're hoping to do around the country.
Oh, cool.
And we challenge our people to do one of three things or all three things on Global Attitude Awareness Day. And number one is to truly be grateful, to be thankful to somebody in your life who's affected your attitude, and to actually pick up the phone and call them. We actually want you to hug them if you can. Number two, get moving and exercise. Exercise, change your body, change your state, changes your attitude. As a football coach, if you've seen, why do football players dress up and go nuts in a huddle and scream craziness before a game, right? They're changing their state, right? They're moving. So on Global Attitude Awareness Day, we want you to thank somebody who's affected your attitude. We want you to exercise, and we encourage you a one-mile walk. If you haven't, if you're listening to this and you haven't moved from your couch in 2 years, which a lot of people don't.
Even if you have to just walk to get the potato chips.
Yes, but walk. We'd like to get a mile, right? And then the last thing we would love you to do is to volunteer. Find a charity or find a organization or find someone who you can be a part of something bigger than yourself, Attitude Booster number 10. And if you can't find anybody, go to the grocery store and watch people walk out and load people's groceries for 15 minutes. That's a great thing to do. People love that.
You know, it's funny. I used to do that. When I was in the fifth grade and the sixth grade, I would go down to the Acme and try to get tips after school. Like people come out, I follow them, and I say, can I load your groceries and walk your cart back? And they would go, I'm not going to give you any money. And I had the presence of mind saying, doesn't matter. I'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
And I made $3 or $4 a day as a fifth grader doing that.
Yeah.
I hadn't really thought about that.
There you go. I used to do it all the time.
Yeah.
And I would do it as my mom would go shop. I don't know why. Maybe they suggested it, but back to who taught you how I'd go wait in the parking lot, and if I could pick up an extra buck or two while she was
– yeah.
There were seven of us. So when she shopped, it would take an hour. So I'd go work the parking lot for an hour.
That's pretty cool.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think if you learn how to hustle young – it's going to – it's like implanted in you.
Sure.
Well, it's called being nice. It's called being friendly. It's called being like, you know, cold calling's nothing for me. I can walk up to anybody and say, would you like me to load your groceries? But it's just different language. It's the same
yeah.
principle.
Because if you did it today, people would be yelling for security.
Yeah, right? They would.
I would be arrested, right?
Well, you passed the age of helping.
So you just referred to Attitude Booster number 10.
Yes.
What are the first nine?
Well, Jen, thanks for asking.
No problem.
The attitude boosters are very simple. People say, how can I change my attitude? I always love to talk to people, and they say, well, you know, my attitude's fine, but everybody I work and live with, their attitude's shit.
Yeah.
What can
yeah.
they do to help me? I say, well, I know none of this pertains to you, but maybe you can tell them this, right? So number one is be nice, right? Very simply, to be nice is I always like to ask people by noon, how many people have you been nice to? And how many people have you flipped off on the way to work? And how many compliments have you given to a person within the first hour of your day? I think one of the greatest goals anybody can have is to compliment somebody they interact with within the first 60 minutes of their day. Number two is have a big goal, right? Big goals push you through your smaller goals, and they propel you to not focus on the negative but the positive. Big goals do not allow you to be a negative person. Number three is believe in you. Well, look, at nobody believes in you. Let's just be honest, right? Some people believe in you. Not everybody believes in you. But if you don't believe in yourself, you're screwed.
This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.